All right. Well, good morning, Three Circle Church. We have all of our campuses joining us right now and all of those online. It's really great to have you with us today as we continue the Wing series, and we also celebrate Mother's Day weekend. And we hope that that all of you here today who are a part of that mothering gift that God has given to the world, and whatever way you display that, we celebrate that today. And as we dive into the Wing series, I want to remind us as we go to the Word of God today, why are we doing a series about birds? And I will tell you, it's because Jesus commanded us to. Throughout the Bible, God commands us to look at his creation to find the evidence of him and to see examples of his creative power, who he is, his character. And he does this in a general sense to all human beings. We call that general revelation, which means God reveals himself to us in a general sense with what he has made. We get to observe it. And then he does so in a specific sense. We call that specific revelation through Jesus and his word. Okay? So we all, if you're a Christian today, you've experienced both general revelation and specific revelation if you're a Christian. And so what we'll do is, after we become Christians, often I think we lay aside the general revelation part. We think, well, I'm now a Christian, so maybe I don't need that general revelation part. I get it. I've got Jesus in his word. No, God wants you to continue to look at his creation. Jesus was talking to a religious audience the day he commanded them to look at the birds. And so today we're going to continue doing that and see things about God in ways that he can grow us and mold us by looking at his creation. We'll go to Matthew 6:26, which is the foundational verse. It's the impetus, if you will, for why we did the series. Jesus said, look at the birds. The original language is actually not just look, it's consider the birds of the air. They don't sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And I just love that every week of this series, we're going to start with that verse, and that is such good. That's such a good news verse. Jesus is saying to you, look at the birds, consider them. Don't just look at them, think about them. And he gives you a specific. He says, don't miss the fact that you don't see any worried birds, do you? You walk outside this time of year and all you hear is happy birds, annoyingly so, right? You've got a big day ahead of you and you walk out and they're all cool, man. Why? Because they are well taken care of. But Jesus says, I want you to compare yourself to the bird. I want you to understand that it's not even close how valuable you are to God compared to how valuable those birds are. Like, you're infinitely more valuable to him. And the gospel sense of this church, listen, at all of our campuses, God did not send Jesus to die for birds. He gives birds nest, trees, and worms. He gave you himself. He put his son on the cross for you. Do you understand how much more he's going to take care of you? You don't need to worry. That's Jesus' point. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. You have been created in his image, and he has value in you. How many of you want to just celebrate that for a minute today? Amen? It's good news. So we're going to say this. The birds of the Bible, Jesus tells us to consider them, they point us to the power and the character of God. They point us to his creative power. We pointed out last week that the Wright brothers, who invented human aviation, they couldn't get any traction until they started studying birds. They began to study the engineering of bird wings and bird flight, and they figured out how to crack the code just by looking at the greatest engineer ever, our God himself. They consider the birds. I told you, next time you get on a plane, by the way, we did that last week, and I've been getting all these texts from people who've been flying all week to business or whatever, and they're all taking pictures of the wing outside the window, and they're like, consider the birds, consider the birds. Because we said, every time you go on a plane, you need to remember that your God's creative design with birds is what led to us being able to fly. Isn't that amazing? And so it does show us his creative power, but not only that, it shows us his character. The birds of the Bible show us his character. And we saw last week the eagle. And we saw the character of God, that he, like the wind pushing an eagle higher and higher to give him sight, to give him perspective, to give him the ability that an eagle has, that God wants to do the same thing for us. His character is that he sustains us, that he strengthens us. Today we're going to see that he nourishes and protects us by looking at another bird. In fact, let's go there now. You just heard just a few moments ago at most of our campuses a beautiful song from the Psalms. We're going to read that psalm right now, 84, 1 through 10. It says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." Now watch this. Here's the bird of the day. You ready? "Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed." Watch this. "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere." What a line. "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Now, number one, is that not one of the greatest lines ever? It'd be better to be one day in your court than a thousand anywhere else. Do we believe that today, church? Those of you who know Jesus, isn't that the truth, right? But I don't want you to miss this. There's something going on here that we're grabbing today. And I want you to show, we want to show you the whole scope of the Word of God, and these birds keep showing up. I don't want you to see the sparrow. I want you to see what kind of sparrow it is. It's a mom. It's a mother sparrow. It says here, this sparrow, this mother sparrow builds a nest for herself, but not just her, for her children, for her babies, right? And then the Bible here compares that to what God wants to do with us. It says here, we, like those little babies, run to get under their mother, to get under her protection, her nourishment, that we should learn to do the same, that our God wants us to do the same. That's what it says here. He becomes our dwelling place, his house. We want to run to him. That's where we're going to find. And it says here, it'd be better to just have one day there than a thousand anywhere else. Home, write it down, for the Christian is the presence of God. That's what this is saying. Just like home to those little babies when they run to the mother hen, whether it's a chicken or a sparrow, it's the same biology going on there. And what you learn is you learn the science behind these beautiful creatures God has made is that a hen will do a certain sound. And it's a sound that tells the babies to come running to get under mama, to get under the wings, to get under the feathers. But here's what's interesting. The little babies have no idea why they're being called to get under her. There could be all sorts of reasons. They don't know. You want to know why? Well, I hate to tell you this, they're dumb. They're babies. They don't know. They don't realize that they're in danger at all times as little baby chicks, that a hawk could fly over and swoop in and take one of them out. But guess who is watching all the time for them? Guess whose eyes are always on the sky to make sure? There's other times, I don't know if you remember, when I was a kid, I would get hungry and go hungry for a while before I realized, oh, I'm hungry. See, that's just how limited we are as little kids. And so I had grandma, I had mom, I had a great grandma that made sure, hey, let's come eat. Why? Because sometimes we don't even know we're weak and we need to be nourished. But the mother does. And these mama birds will say, come, come, come. And there's a little cluck. And those little babies just come. And it may be for nourishment. It may be for protection. It may be for warmth because the temperature is changing. Those little mama birds got it going on, man. They know what's up. It's very important for us to understand this. And don't miss it. We're not here to learn about mother birds. We're here to learn about God. And God decided in his creation that he could teach you some things about himself through his creation, and this is one of them. He points to the fact that like those babies find home base underneath mom, and they don't need to know why she's saying run to me. They just need to run to her, right? Don't ask a bunch of questions. Get under me when I tell you to. It's exactly what God is saying to us today. Too many of us, our home base is somewhere else. When tough times come, our home base is to go doom scroll for a while on our phone because it'll make us feel good. And it doesn't, does it now? Or we'll run to our money, or we'll run to our own abilities to make stuff happen instead of running to our true refuge. Christians have to learn where home base is. Home base is the presence of the living God. Home base is running to his word, running to his truth, anchoring our life to who he is. Like these baby birds. The hen is a word picture given to us by God to better understand and relate to him. Let me tell you why that's important. Because if God did not relate to you, you would never be able to relate to him. Now think about this. God, the Bible says, is unlike us. He is so far beyond us. I mean, how can you and I relate to someone who knows everything? Some of you are like, I've been married to him for 20 years. Trust me, I'm getting pretty good at it. No. I mean, for real. God knows everything. There's nothing he doesn't know. How can we relate to that? None of us know everything. We all understand, painfully so, our inability to know everything. He's all powerful. We all have limits to our power, right? I grew up a Michael Jordan fan. I thought, I want to be Michael Jordan one day. I am 5'11 and a half. I do not have a 48-inch vertical. I know that surprises you. I'm not Jordan. I never did dunk. I just barely got my fingers over the rim, and that was on a real good day, a long time ago, too. If I did that now, I'd blow hamstrings and ACLs and everything. Okay, so here's the deal. I have limits, but God is limitless. How can I relate to him? Well, I can't, and you can't. So what he did is he came to us. He said, I will relate to you. I'll reveal myself to you. And he does so generally through these birds and creatures and oceans. He's like, look at my power. This is who I am. And you can look at a mountain and go, wow, whoever made that's powerful. Look at waves. Whoever made that is powerful. But you look at a hen. Watch this. This is what he wants you to get. You look at the hen today, the hen of the Psalms and the hen that we're going to see in the Gospels in a moment. And you go, oh, this great God also must care for us. He cares for us. I wanted to show you, because it's easy to talk about a hen, but you need to see one. So we got some video footage of a hen calling her babies underneath her, exactly what the Psalms are telling you and what Jesus is about to tell you in the Gospels. It's the illustration. So I want you to see this footage that we were able to get our hands on of. Now there she is, and what I want you to know is we looked for, that's not a Robertsdale or even a Daphne chicken, y'all. That's a Fairhope chicken. That's a fancy hen right there. She's just gotten a perm. She's been to the salon. But look at all those babies. Look at them all. She's clucking, and they're getting under her, and they don't know why. And you're going to see the last ones finally, yep, they're all there. They didn't know why. She was fancy, wasn't she? Very, very classy, classy lady. She got them all under her. They didn't know why. They just came. And we need to learn that instinct. God's wanting you to know that he's all powerful and also cares, also loves you. That's what the Psalms are trying to teach us, but it's also what Jesus taught us. And I want you to watch what we're doing. We're not just randomly grabbing all over the Bible. We have a concept here that's given to us in the Word, and we're going, look, he never changes. He's trying to show you this idea through a hen, through a mother bird here in the Old Testament. Jesus shows up, stands on the steps of the temple in Jerusalem, and says these words. Now listen, he's talking to an audience that in a few days, they're going to cry, crucify him. And he stands and weeps, the Bible says, and says these words. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Now, we literally just watched what Jesus has said. Jesus looks at a big crowd of religious people. Religious people who have learned to run to the law instead of to him. They're having a hard time hearing his message. They've run to rules instead of grace. They've run to, well, all sorts of other things, instead of running to God himself. And Jesus looks at them, and he tells them that they are basically murderers. He says, everyone who's ever tried to tell you the truth, you kill them. And what he knows is they're going to do the same to him. It's just around the corner. This crowd is going to do the same thing to him. But what I see here is not anger out of Jesus. I see a desire to care. He says, like a hen. There it is. Like a hen would do, I want to do for you. Look, but you are not willing. And I would say here today, I just want to pause before we go on. For every campus and every person online and every person here today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I want you to know he died for you and is calling you. If you're here today, I don't have to question. I'm telling you, you're here for a reason. But the problem is many of us, Jesus calls to us to come to him, to his love, to believe upon him, repent of our sins, and believe upon the gospel for salvation. But we are not willing. We're not willing. And today, I hope to just push you across that line. And if I could, I would just come grab you and drag you across it. But I can't. I can't do that. But what I can do is present you Jesus and invite you to come to Christ, who cares for you, who will care for you. So what did Jesus want us to understand? What does a hen do that Jesus is telling us our Heavenly Father longs to do for us and will do for us if we are believers? This is a part of our relationship with him. Well, the first thing is that a hen gathers. The hen gathers. That's what she does. They can be all over the place, but those little babies that belong to her, they know her well. They know the clucking sound that she makes that is the one that says, come to me now. They don't have to know why. When they run to mama, they don't know if it's a hawk or if she found some food for them. When they get under her wings, they're probably all like, what's up? They don't even know. Mama was just taking care of them. How many of you have ever seen God help you avoid disaster in your life, stuff you didn't even see coming? And by his grace, come on, have you been walking with him long enough to watch him do that? Or maybe they get under there and they hear the hawk fly over and they realize, or maybe they get under there and they go, what's up? And there is just waiting for them the most beautiful, grilled perfectly pile of worms you've ever seen in your life. Right? So they go, oh, mama got some food for us. Or maybe they run in and they were playing and having fun. They didn't realize the temperature was changing, getting cold, dangerous for little birds. And they get under there and they realize mama's turned up the heat. And they go, ooh, it's warm in here. And they all fall asleep. Why? Because they needed to rest and they needed to get warm. They didn't know. She knew. God knows what you need before you know that you need it. That's what our relationship with him is like. And he gathers us. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. In another place, he says, come to me, I am your refuge. In John 6:37, Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Meaning when you come to God in prayer as one of his children, he's never going to go, whoa, don't have time for you today. I've told you this before. You are never going to get God's voicemail when you call. He's never going to send you to voicemail. Have you ever seen your friend in a restaurant or something like that, and you call them, and you watch them literally look at the phone and go, put it down? Oh, I nail my friends. When I see them do that, I literally march across the restaurant right then, and I act like I'm a waiter. I walk up, and I go, hey, can I get you guys any more drinks? You saw that was me, and you put your phone down. It's fun. That's why I endear myself to my friends. You're never going to get that with God. So today he gathers us, and if you're not a believer, he wants you to believe in him. But if you are a believer, he wants you to learn to run to him first. Not only that, but the hen protects. Part of what she's doing, you get under her wings, these babies now are not in the sight of the hawk. She's protecting them. She is keeping them from danger that she sees and they may not. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Present help. He's not help tomorrow when you need him today. He's not, hey man, I'll pray for you when you really need him to get involved. No, he gives you exactly what you need when you need it, even when you don't realize you do. And he's always on time. And he's always available to us. Aren't you thankful for that? Have you ever needed to get into a doctor and like, he has an opening in 4.5 months? On the phone, you're like, that's not going to work. I need something now. Once again, you're never going to get that. You have availability with your Heavenly Father as a believer at all times. And that's why Paul said, pray at all times and all places. And people miss the point and they go, well, how do I do that? How do I pray all the time? What he's saying is prayer can be a part of our total life all the time because he's always available. So I can pray in my car. I can pray in the shower. I can pray in the deer stand. I can pray while I'm watching my kid play baseball. There's no time off limits for you and I to run to our Heavenly Father. He's always available to us. Never sending us to voicemail. Thirdly, he nourishes. He wants you to see that the way the hen nourishes those babies, he nourishes us. He feeds us. And it's very personal. In John 6, 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. The Greek word there is zoe. It means it's not physical bread. That would have been the Greek word bios. So he's not talking about physical bread. He's talking about this other bread, Zoe bread, and what that means is life. It's spiritual. He says, I'm the spiritual bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. He's not talking about physical thirst. He's not talking about physical hunger. He's talking about something deeper and more important, our souls. Your soul gets hungry, and the only bread that will handle that hunger is Jesus. And he offers himself to nourish us. Folks, listen. What he's saying is if you'll start running to him, you will not have to get hungry and thirsty. And hungry and thirsty people spiritually run to all kinds of things that aren't good for them, just so you know. If you get too hungry and too thirsty spiritually, you will run to the wrong hen for your nourishment. Does that make sense? You're going to run to the wrong place. Jesus says, you run to me. I'm your bread now. If you belong to me, I am the living water. You run to me for sustenance. You run to me, not for physical bread. You can go to the grocery store. We have Publix in Baldwin County, we're attempting to put a grocery store so you don't even have to drive. You can just walk out your back door. There'll always be a grocery store everywhere. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about something greater. And like a hen nourishes her babies, he nourishes us if we'll come to him. And finally, he comforts us. The hen, these little babies, they're a little nervous. But the mother hen knows, come to me, I will settle you down. She is their resting place. She's grace. Notice that the little chicks that have been bad get to run under her too. Not just the one that's been getting life right. They all get to run to her for grace and comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. There it is. Now I want you to notice how many times the word comfort is used here. He's the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Do y'all get the comfort idea of this comfortable verse? Did he drive it home enough? Yes, he wants to protect you. Yes, he wants to feed you. Yes, he wants to direct you and instruct you, convict you at times, help you, grow you. But one thing he will always do for you if you will learn to run to him is comfort you in a way that nothing else can. Any of you have comfort food? Little ice cream, Rocky Roads, my jam. What that does for you physically, God says infinitely more, I am your comfort. Run to me. Now, as we talk about these mother hens, I thought, well, today is the perfect day to bring out, well, someone who is a mother. I am not. There's things I just can't speak on from an expert level. I've just observed it with my own amazing wife, my own amazing mom and grandmas. But I wanted to bring someone out who could speak really from the heart on this with me and talk to me about it, talk to all of us about it. She's an amazing theologian. She's an amazing Bible teacher. She's also a great mom. Would you welcome to the stage our director of women's discipleship at Three Circle Church, Christy Sullins. Christy, Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much.
And thank you so much for being willing to come out here and talk to us and just share your heart, which you always do. So many in our audience and at all of our campuses have experienced your teaching and your heart in so many different ways. But today it's Mother's Day, and I just wanted to talk to you as we're talking about the hen, and you were involved in the planning of this, and we've had a lot of conversations about it, and you really helped me see some things and some insight. But as we get going, why don't we just dive into the fact that Jesus here is using as an illustration not the things that we're familiar with, Lion of Judah, the eagle last week.
Right.
Here we have a mother hen, and he's saying, I'm also like this, right? Why did he choose that illustration, Christy?
Well, we all know that Jesus was the ultimate teacher. And so he is, as creator, full understanding of the birds. And he painted a picture using a bird, an element that represents the idea of comfort and seeking out and coverage and nurturing. And it again paints this like whole picture. You don't just get the justice and warrior. You get that this is who I am to my children. Mm. I am comfort. I am safety. I am security.
Right.
In a very hard world. And as we think about who he was talking to, you made the statement, a hen knows her children.
Right.
Well, there is ultimately nothing God wants more than to have humanity come to him and choose him. And so he pictures this like, I want you to come to me because I know you. Mm-hmm. And I know you will, like the Pharisees would have offered a false covering.
Right.
He was the full and permanent covering.
Wow. I love that. And as you and I started talking about it, I think, and we'll rope back around to it, because you think the audience he was talking to is a key that unlocks a lot of the meaning, right?
I do.
And so I want to kind of end on where you think the real landing spot is for this passage, because it's so powerful. And I had not considered, like he said, consider the birds. I had not considered what you pointed out. But I think you and I did talk about this fact. I want to make sure we get it right. Because as we were talking, I said, okay, Imago Dei is something we teach here a lot, right?
Yes.
And so Imago Dei means that we're created in the image of God as humans, that we're created in his image. But I said this, I said, okay, Christy, we believe that we're created equally in his image, men and women. But you added a word that I think was so powerful. And what is that word?
We're created uniquely in his image.
Okay.
You know, none of us can wrap our mind around God's image. And none of us have like holy eyebrows or, you know, the chin of God. We are the core of all of the character. And there are parts of him we will never carry. We are not sovereign, no matter how many of us mamas think we know what's going to happen next. And we are not all powerful.
The helicopter thing?
It is a little. Sovereignty, like we're not going to shame any.
Right.
Or we think we can do it on our own. And in the idea of the Imago Dei, it is that picture is there are parts of him that we get to display in the world. And where the world would say equality is everything the same, God would say, no, that's waste. It's unique. Unique to who you are, unique to the God that we serve.
Wow. So we as men and women, you and I as a brother and sister in Christ, we are equally displaying, you don't display, like you're not less Imago Dei than I am because I'm a man and you're a woman. No, we equally there, but then it's unique and it's beautiful and it has a purpose. He made us uniquely on a purpose. And today he's like, I'm choosing this mother hen for a reason. So as a mom and a great mom, and your kids are like, I'm on the back end of kind of where you are, right? I'm graduating a kid this week and that kind of thing. Yep, it's already pulling my heart out. Christy, you can pray for me later, okay? But the Bible says in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image.
Yes.
In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So in the end, he pointed out the uniqueness.
Yes.
Okay, so as a mom, what are some things, you know, we just talked about it with the hen, but what is it that Jesus wanted people to see in the character of God that day? Like you said, not just a warrior who will fight, and not just a savior who will die, but one who continually for us invites us to run to him. What does that mean?
So I will just speak from the side of the mom. Like there is an attention to detail There is a deep level of care. Every mom in here could tell you that at one point her kids have said, you are no fun, because they have insisted on a level of bathing or a level of, hey, let's not do that.
Yeah, hygiene
yes,
issues.
Yes, level of awareness. It's also just this picture of detail and care, even when we don't want it.
Wow.
And that is, I think, one of the most precious things in this picture is God is offering He is offering this covering. And I think of the times that I have interceded on my children's behalf. I think of the moms that I talk to who are desperate. Think of Christ's words there. Like, if you would just come to me. Mm-hmm. Think of the parents we've watched have children with addiction or struggling. And they can hear his tone there because they've had his tone.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so it is that idea that if you have ever been a parent, a mom, and you have been begging to covering, to care, like, that's God.
Yeah.
On our human
level.
A part
of him
level,
we don't consider all the time.
We think, oh, it's just us. No, we're just reflecting on a very myopic level this picture of our grand God, who in the Psalms is saying, be still and know me, find refuge
Jesus
in
saying,
me.
Come to me if you're weary. But we don't often, Christy. We end up running to things, you know. C.S. Lewis brilliantly pointed it out. He's like, we have been given Jesus, and we run basically to mud holes. And why are we drinking in the mud hole and when we can come to Christ? And so I think we settle for running to places that can't nourish us, can't bring us rest.
Every time.
Right? And here he is saying, look, I am like this. So Jesus chose the hen on purpose to show a unique aspect, as you're pointing out, of God's activity in our lives. Not just his character, but what he does for us, he gathers us, Christy.
Yes.
He does this in our lives. And so that's very important. I would love to rope us back around because, again, as we were preparing for this and you and I had been studying and discussing the day, you really came in and you said, we need to look at that original audience, which is a part of what we would say is the discipline of teaching the Bible. We always ask that question. But you thought, no, that key needs to turn a little further. Because if you look at it, that audience is not, like, most of them are not authentically following Jesus.
Right.
They're crowds. They're going to call for his crucifixion. That's right.
Yes.
Okay. And yet, you said, if you look at who that crowd is and the way Jesus is talking to them, what did you say it's displaying?
It is his compassion. Like, it is grace in full display. What he could have said was, I've given you 3 years, and I'm tired of it. You have had every opportunity to know me, and you've wasted it. I'm done with you. Like, he could have called buzzards instead of hens, and we would have justified it.
You're eating the trash on the road. Yep.
Because we do that. We have a level where we're like, we're done. Mm-hmm. God never has that level. He never looks at, he has never looked at humanity and gone, you know what? How about it?
Thank goodness.
Right. He displays a grace that we can never wrap our mind around, but we can find ourselves at peace under. Because if I've messed up the fifth time, my God is the God of the covering who's welcoming me back.
Wow.
If I am begging for the heart of a child, I can know that my words compare nothing to the God who seeks to bring that child in.
Yes.
And so it is that picture that when Christ could have said, I've given you enough chances, I'm done with you, he leans in and grieves instead of just saying, you know what, every one of you are going to cost me my life.
Wow.
He goes, I would give my life for every one of you if you would just take it.
The heart.
The heart, and it's as a mother, it lets me know that I've messed up the fifth time. If I have overstepped, if I have slept and been awake in anxiety and worry or tried to control it, I don't have to go back and God go, you know what, you should be done with this.
Yeah.
He goes, come to me. All that are weary and heavy laden, find refuge in me. Let me be. And so it is just that idea that is our God.
Yeah.
More than that is me as a mom. That is my God.
But you reflect that, Christy.
But
all the moms do, right? They reflect this part of the character of God in their display of the Imago Dei.
And then when we fail, we live in the grace of that part of God.
Yes.
So
good.
So
and
that means
and I love that. I love that when you came in, you said, I think we're missing a little piece of the gospel here in this illustration, because you can so go to the Old Testament references, yes, and all that, and all of those are important, but right in front of us was this treasure chest of gospel truth about the character of God.
Yes.
That this is who he is. And I don't know if you got to see the video footage. We got the fanciest chicken anyone's ever seen earlier.
I was very proud.
But there wasn't one baby.
It's a true Mother's Day chicken.
Absolutely. Yes. There wasn't one baby left out there, right?
Mm-mm.
Every one of them, she didn't stop clucking until they all got under there. You got to believe one of them had some bad behavior, right?
Oh,
there was a bad one in that bunch.
You know, I have three kids, and so if one of them, it was bound to
happen.
The
picture is beautiful, and it's a gospel picture. Yep. And it is on purpose God using a female, a hen here, to go, I need to tell you something about myself. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5, Christy says this, but God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. It's this part of God that we're not Christians if he didn't have this love and grace and compassion for us. And so thank you for coming out and helping us understand even more this little treasure of a statement Jesus made. And if you would, as our director of discipleship for women at every campus, everybody watching right now, you've helped us direct that. Today, would you pray over all of us? That would be amazing.
I would be honored. Father, we praise you. We praise you that you are the God of grace and compassion. That when you could be the God of justice and your righteousness demands so much, through your Son, you have covered us. So right now, just as a woman, I stand in deep gratitude of your grace and your covering. As a mom, I am grateful that it is not up to me to cover my children, because they are yours first. Father, I acknowledge the women in this room that feel totally exposed in this journey. I pray over the single mom who feels the burden of all the decisions and all of the choices. May she know the feeling of your covering. I pray over the grandparents who are stepping into a role that they thought they had moved past. They are grieving the reality of their own child while actively sacrificing to impact the next generation. Oh God, that they would feel your compassion and grace. For every mom who gets lost in the anxiety of messing up, for every woman who has wept at night over the loss of a child, for every woman who holds the tension of believing that you have a role for her while living in a timeline that just aches. Father, we lift each other up to you because you are the God of compassion. You are the God of grace. You are the picture of a covering in a world that honestly would rather leave us exposed and hurting. May we be those that run to you. And in this, we praise you. We lift up a final voice of praise because you are the God who stands with your children, over your children, protecting, providing, and loving, no matter how many times we run back to you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.